This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie.
And joining us is Mr. Joseph Johnston, National Commander of the Disabled American Veterans. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Dave.
How you doing?
Oh, great. I tell you, it's wonderful to be here in Oshkosh. The DAV and the EAA are a partnership that goes back for a number of years, and we treasure that relationship. It's a great opportunity for people to show their patriotic spirit, to show their belief in the history of our great country, and to volunteer for this organization that you all have enjoyed for so many years. Thousands of volunteers here taking their own time to make this event happen.
Do you get a lot of veterans walking up to you guys and not knowing who you are?
No, I think that most people know who the DAV is this year. We have about 400,000 veterans that we represent with claims as they're returning from the wars in Iran and Afghanistan. And we want to make sure that they receive the benefits and the promises that they have been owed by this country for their service. And so volunteerism is a big part of the DAV as well, and that's why we're such a great match with the EAA, because we try to do something for veterans every day, every year. And I'm pleased to announce that DAV has just recently formed an agreement with recruitmilitary.org, which we want to bring people that are coming home from the battlefields in Iraq and Afghanistan and get them gainful employment in this country. And so we've taken that up as another banner.
That's a big cause right there. That's huge.
That's a very good cause. How did this come about?
Gosh, the history of the DAV, we had our start in vocational placement for veterans returning from the First World War in the automotive industry, of all things. And we kind of got away from that over the years. We started representing folks in their claims before the VA. We started doing transportation networks within the VA system, helping people with their fight for their claims in Washington, D.C., where there are legislative groups. But one of the things that we did not do in recent years is vocational placement. And just this past year, we had that conversation. And our leadership of our organization decided, hey, it's time for us to take part in this. The Army is going to be reduced to its lowest level since the First World War. And as a result of that, there will be hundreds of thousands of veterans who can return home and don't have a job. And we want to make sure that is not perpetuated, that we get them gainful employment that they deserve, having served this great country.
Now, are you working with companies? I mean, how do you even get started? That's an awful big elephant to eat.
Well, recruitmilitary.org has been in that business now for about 10 years, and they are a for-profit organization, but they have all the contacts. We presently have about 60-plus job fairs, national job fairs, that are established. And so the linkage with the DAV is going to be that we know, based on our service, what folks that are veterans are qualified to do, so we can enter them into those corporate activities that have a direct relationship to what their military occupational specialty was. So we're hoping that that's the real linkage for us.
Do you find, on average, that veterans are make better employees, more reliable employees? They're seasoned. They know responsibility and what that's all about.
Oh, gosh. I mean, what type of responsibility is taught to you other than somebody shooting at you?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
You learn how to be a part of a team in that event instantaneously, and you gain that respect that you have in your fellows, and you therefore know how to operate as a part of a team, and you know that inherent responsibility goes along with being an employee.
Yeah, it kind of changes your perspective on things, I imagine.
Absolutely.
Those engineering meetings aren't nearly so serious anymore.
I've been in healthcare since I retired from the military, and I tell you that when things get bad, I simply think to myself, well, you know, gosh, nobody's shooting at me anymore, so that's a great thing.
Yeah, I'm doing okay.
Well, as the national commander, you oversee all the branches of the DAV. Is that a very difficult job, or do you have people underneath of you that make it easy?
Gosh, we have a great staff. For example, our national service officers, which is one of the core activities that we perform within the DAV, When we hire those guys, they go to work, and they're all disabled veterans themselves, men and women. And when they go to work for us, they have to train 18 months before they're allowed to be on their own handling veterans' claims in the VA system. So what that means is by the end of that point in time, they know better how to handle a claim than the VA claims adjudicators that are actually doing that job. We lose a great number of those folks because the VA hires them because they're great trained people, but that's a success story for veterans as well. Because now if you have a DAV member, a former National Service Officer that's handling claims adjudication within the VA, veterans get the benefit of the doubt every time. And we know how to do that. We know how to do it better than anybody else. We handle about 70% of the claims coming through the appellate system within the VA. And we've been doing that now for a number of years. But last year we had about 330,000 claims for services and compensation within the VA that we handled. And that's nothing short of incredible.
That is.
Would this be a time you regard as trying with all the stuff that's come to light about the VA?
The last 12 weeks have been extraordinary, and because of everything that you all have seen in the news media and all of Americans have seen, the DAV has been steadfast in that we want our returning veterans and our veterans who have already served to receive all the benefits that they're entitled to and not have waiting lists nor schedule problems for services within the VA. We have indeed pointed out to Congress over the past 15 years that the VA over that time period has been underfunded to the tune of about $15 billion. So this comes as no surprise to us. We've been the constant voice of concern on the underfunding of services, of professionals, of facilities, infrastructure to support veterans. And so we have always wanted those facilities, those personnel, and those services to be delivered in a timely manner. And we knew that there were some issues out there, but we didn't know that they existed to the extent that they do with people playing games with the system. I talked to Bob McDonald a week before last in Cincinnati, and I asked him if he really knew what he was getting himself in for, but I also told him that the DAV would be a partner, and we would be willing to give him whatever information or guidance that he might deemed beneficial for his service at the VA once he's confirmed, and of course that happened this week.
Well, that's actually kind of cool because now you've got someone that's willing to work with you instead of an adversary.
Well, you know, Eric Shinseki was not an adversary. I mean, we met with the secretary about every other week on Capitol Hill, and so were some mistakes made? Absolutely, but he was an honorable man. He did things that he thought were in the benefit of veterans, and he listened to the DAV, and I think the new secretary will as well. We have a great reputation on Capitol Hill about services and about what's needed within the VA system.
Well, hopefully we'll see some good reform start coming out.
I was going to say, what other new programs do you have coming down the pipeline for veterans coming back from the war?
Well, the biggest one is that employment program that I mentioned earlier. But, gosh, we have transportation network issues that we take people to and from their appointments within the VA. And in some instances, when they're a couple, 300 miles from a VA medical center, I mean, that's a substantial service. And we have thousands of volunteers all across the United States that do that on their own time, just like the volunteers here at EAA. And so we're proud to support the veterans that we are ourselves are part of. We also have within the VA the claims infrastructure support people, the NSOs that I mentioned earlier, plus every chapter. We have thousands of chapter service officers in this great country. And so someone's assistance with their claims within the VA is never further away than the chapter that's within their own communities.
New chapters starting up all the time?
We've had a number of new chapters that have begun this year. In fact, of the legacy veteran service organizations in the United States, we're the only one that's actually grown our membership over the last couple of years. Everybody else are having trouble maintaining membership. We grew our membership by about 40,000 members last year and about another 50,000 this year. We're doing that a lot through the social media. And so we're now approaching 1.3 million members again.
Okay, if I want to find out more on the web, where do I go?
www.dav.org.
Well, that was a tough one.
Well, that's simple. How many chapters are there of the DAV?
A little over 1,000 nationally.
Wow, that's quite a network.
That's a bunch. Well, unfortunately, we creating more veterans in need of the services. So we salute you guys for everything you do, because it's a tireless job, I'm sure.
Well, thank you, Dave.
And this is Digital Dave.
I'm Fast Eddie, and this is EAA Radio.